But anyway, we're in Matthew chapter number 26 this morning, and we've been here for a little while. Matthew 26 is actually quite a long chapter, but there's a lot going on in it. And so we're going to be looking today, Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to be down at about verse 56. I know I read this verse last week, but we'll read it again for context and keep on here. And what we've been doing, we've been following Jesus toward the cross, and last week he was betrayed and he was arrested. We saw the world attack Christ, we saw the disciples attack the world, and then we saw Jesus wage war and defeat sin, death, hell, the grave, all the forces of hell. And so we learned that often we find ourselves attacking the wrong enemy, and we do so in an attempt to fight a battle that's already been won. And so we're left here to win souls, not to win battles. And so today we're going to be taking another look at Peter. And we're going to see what's going on with him as he's going through this distressing ordeal in his life. Honestly, this was probably one of the hardest things that Peter ever went through, because he had invested so much in following Jesus. His hopes were so high. There was so much excitement. There was so much zeal there. And then all of a sudden, his world came crashing down whenever Jesus was arrested and told him to put away his sword and not to fight against it, but instead just submitted to it. And so Peter had a lot of thinking to do, I guess we should say. But anyway, I enjoy reading about Peter because I find him being so relatable. You know, as you go through and you read about different characters in the Bible, there's some of them, it's just like, yeah, he's just, can't even compare to him. But Peter, on the other hand, he's more relatable than the rest of them. We can look at Paul, for instance. If we look at Paul, he's a little bit of a he's a little bit intimidating, I guess I could say, as we look at him. Because Apostle Paul, after he was set straight on the road to Damascus, it seems like his life was an absolute success story. That he was going from victory to victory, that he was seeing so many things happen, that he was starting churches, he was seeing multitudes saved, he was taking on this one and that one, and he was overcoming for the cause of Christ. And Paul was just a shining star, so to speak. He was just a success story. But Peter, on the other hand, he had his shares of ups and downs. You have him walking on the water, you have him going up to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, you see him proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Whenever Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" He says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a high point, right? Mm-hmm. We find that he was refusing to abandon Jesus whenever all the multitudes left, and he said, "To whom shall we go? Who else has the words of eternal life?" He was vowing to be faithful to Jesus all the way into death just a couple weeks ago, as we were reading. And even whenever Jesus was being arrested, he drew out a sword and took on those who was arresting, even though he was greatly outnumbered. I mean, those were high points for Peter, wasn't it? It's like Peter's really doing things. Do you think that if multitudes were coming out against Jesus to arrest him, and you were there with Jesus and 10 other men who had two swords amongst the entire group, and you had one of them, do you think that you'd pull out the sword and start attacking? Or would you run away? I mean, Peter, we give him a hard time for this, but that was a pretty noble thing that he did. It was a very courageous thing that he did to take on that entire group with swords and staves when he had one sword. And was basically the only one armed amongst them. And so these were high points for Peter. And so we could kind of consider that like his highlight reel. You ever watch like a highlight reel at the end of the game? You see, and it's just like all the good parts. Mm-hmm. Well, that was Peter's highlight reel. But there was also a blooper reel. And I enjoy those even more.
Yeah.
You ever get to like the end of the movie and it shows you all the outtakes and all the bloopers, all the times that they mess up their lines, all the times that they make a fool out of themselves? Well, Peter had that too. And really, I think the worst of those are his actions that took place between Jesus' arrest and a little while after Jesus' resurrection. Because Peter was at a complete loss. He had no direction. He had no idea what he was doing. And honestly, Peter messed up royally. And so with that, it makes Peter extremely relatable. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I get comfort from this whenever we find out that the men of God in the scriptures were still just men.
Right.
That they still messed up, sometimes royally, and I can relate to that. And so anyway, we're going to be looking at this time between Jesus' arrest and his resurrection here this morning, and learn a little bit from Peter's life. And so let's look at Matthew 26, and we'll begin down at verse 56. And it says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Now let's skip on down here to verse number 69. Because of this intervening part, it kind of cuts away from Peter for a moment, and we see what's going on with Jesus as he stands before Caiaphas. But we're concentrating on Peter today. So verse number 69 says, Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said, "Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's ask the Lord's blessings upon his word this morning. Lord, we come to you once again today, Lord, in prayer, just asking you, Lord, to do away with distractions, to open up our hearts and our minds. Help us to just concentrate on your word for the next little bit. Help us to apply it to our lives and grow from it, Lord. Pray, Lord, you just guide me as I preach your word, just to give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd use us to draw us nearer to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn from Peter's bloopers here that we're seeing. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to not follow in the same mistakes that he's made. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all you do. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we see here with Peter, he had begun following Jesus after Jesus called him by the Sea of Galilee a few years prior to this. We can remember that Jesus was going along. He saw Peter and his brother Andrew mending their nets there along the shore. And he calls out to Peter and Andrew, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Mm-hmm. And Peter and Andrew followed him. And they began to follow him. They began to listen to him. They began to take part in his ministry. They traveled great distances together. They stayed in strange places with Jesus. They ministered to multitudes. And during this time, Peter would be soaking in the presence and the teachings of the Son of God. And so it had been a wonderful experience for him. It had been a wonderful time in his life. The longer he followed and the more he heard, the greater his desire would be to be in the Lord's presence, to be close to Jesus. And so unfortunately, what we find him at today, we find in this passage that he is drifting, that he is putting distance between himself and Jesus. And it's always stuck with me every time that I've read this passage. Whenever we get to verse number 58, it says, "But Peter followed him afar off." Peter had been following him for a long time, but we find that something has happened here. Now Peter is following him afar off. Mm-hmm. There's distance that's come between him and the Savior. Fear and uncertainty, pressures from others and from life brought him to the place where he was following Jesus at a distance. It was only a short while after this that he allowed the distance between him and Christ to grow great enough that he was setting amongst those who were in Caiaphas's palace court. Mm-hmm. And he denied his Savior before them all. He told himself and he told Jesus that this would never happen. Right. He says, "Though all the world be offended at you, I will never be offended. Right. Though everyone denies you, I will not deny you." And Peter does the very thing that he said would never happen. And so after that meeting, Peter ran away disappointed in himself. It says that he went away and wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. Then we're not given a lot of details about what happens after this. We don't know what's going on in Peter's life. We don't know what's going on in his head. But just from our own life experiences, we can kind of put the pieces together. We can imagine if we were in Peter's shoes, if we had went through what Peter went through, we can imagine what would be going on in our minds. We can imagine the battles that would be taking place. We can imagine all of the thoughts and the doubts and the fears and the turmoil, all of the guilt, all of the shame that would be entering in. We can imagine that, can't we? And so Peter is spending more than likely the rest of this time through Jesus' trial, through his death, through his resurrection, and even all the way up until Jesus comes and meets him once again on the shores of Galilee and calls him once again. Throughout all this time, Peter is wrestling with himself. He's kicking himself, if you will. He's disappointed in himself. And so I'm glad that the story doesn't end with Peter being disappointed with himself. I'm glad that it doesn't end with his drifting away, with his denial. But Jesus wasn't surprised by anything that Peter done. As a matter of fact, he told him ahead of time it was going to happen. And even after all this happened, Jesus still desired Peter, that Peter would follow him. And he reissued his call to Peter that he had given some 3.5 years earlier. The season of distance and denial wasn't permanent. And so Jesus tenderly dealt with Peter to bring about a restoration with him. And so Peter didn't walk away in defeat. He didn't leave forever. Jesus was willing to forgive and to move past these times in Peter's life. And so today I'd like to take Peter's experience and apply it to our own Christian journey. Because as I said just a few moments ago, Peter's life is extremely relatable. We can connect with this. We can see it in our own lives oftentimes. And so like Peter, we began having a desire for the Savior. It made salvation. Where we first come to the Lord, we're excited that he has forgiven us. We're excited that he's our Savior. It's a new relationship. I hate to say the word again, but it's exciting for us. And so we have a desire. And whenever we first get saved, or probably many other times throughout our Christian life, we are just wanting to serve the Lord. We are in love with him. We are desiring to get as close as we can to him. We are desiring to obey him in all things. We are desiring that our lives would be pleasing to him. And I believe that's where Peter was at. He wanted everything in his life to please the Lord, and he had no desire whatsoever far off. He had no desire to drift away. He definitely never planned to deny him. We saw that in Sunday school with the Hebrews, as they came to Mount Sinai, they had been delivered. They stood at the foot of the mountain and they had a desire to follow the God that delivered them so closely. They had the desire, right? Much like they did. They said, all he has said, we will do. And then they didn't.
Right.
Once again, we can kind of relate that with Peter. We can relate that to ourselves. We would like to think that as a Christian, our process of growth always has a forward, upward trajectory. We would like to think that constantly we are growing closer and closer to God. We are growing more and more into his image. We are becoming more Christ-like as the years progress. We would like to think that in our Christian life, it is always that positive growth. But if we've been Christians very long at all, if we have been following him very long at all, we know that's not the case. Because more than likely, if we were to chart our course as a Christian, it is going to be up and down and up and down and up and down, right?
Yes.
And there are going to be times that we are so close to the Lord that our desire is for him and that we want to serve him and our attention is on him constantly. And we wake up and we're praying to him. We're in his scripture. We're excited to be at church. We're excited to learn from him. We're excited about the things of God. And there's other times we're following afar off. Is that not the way that it goes?
Yes.
And so in those times, whenever our desire is for the Savior, we're soaking up the Bible teaching. We're loving the things of God. We want to be in his presence. We want him to work in us and through us. And we are just giving ourselves openly to him. Lord, whatever your will for my life, that's what I want. It's a good place to be, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever we do that, it's a wonderful experience. Like Peter, following the Lord takes us to places we haven't been. It gives us experiences that we don't expect. Following the Lord takes us in our lives in a completely different direction than what we had planned. Because Peter never saw himself being where he was that day. He'd probably planned to be fishing for fish, not for men.
Right.
He'd probably seen himself being on a boat the rest of his life, retiring from the fishing industry, handing it down to his children or something like that, and going on just like his father before him and his father before him. Mm-hmm. But whenever Jesus came and said, "Follow me," and he began following him, Peter's life was forever changed. Right. Completely different direction. And so, even though following the Lord takes our lives in a completely different direction, there are going to be things that come between us and the Lord which calls us to follow afar off like Peter did. Mm-hmm. And so we begin to have a bit of distance from the Savior. As we go about life, even with the best of intentions, problems are going to arise. Sometimes sin allures us. Doubts begin to fill our minds. There are pressures from society. Just because the world that we live in is completely engineered, it seems like, to draw us away from God. Mm-hmm. Seems like Satan works overtime to assure us that we don't follow the Lord and to try to bring as much distance between us and him as possible.
Right.
And so many things draw our focus away from him. Usually we don't immediately notice the distance growing between us and the Lord. We're still following him, just not as close as we once did.
Right.
We inevitably begin warming ourselves by the fires of this world. And it's a dangerous place for a child of God. You notice that with Peter? That he began following afar off, and next thing you know, look at who he had surrounded himself by. Look at where he was at. He was warming himself with the servants of the high priest while the high priest was condemning Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So often in Scripture, Jesus is pictured as being the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And so the best place for a sheep is near the shepherd. And the further the sheep gets from the shepherd, the greater the risk to his well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just picture that in our Christian life, as us being a sheep and him the shepherd, the safest, the best place is within the shepherd's watchful care.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not careful, we start allowing things to come between us and him. We start allowing the distance to grow. We start getting further from him and closer to that fire. And so as we begin doing that, we see this slide. And like I said, it's not always black and white. It's not always all or nothing. We kind of vacillate between the two. There's a varying degree. We drift away and we draw nigh unto him. Jesus told us if we draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us.
Right?
Right? The closer that we want to be with him, the closer he will be to us. And so the problem doesn't come with him, it comes with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we drift away from him.
Right.
We start warming ourselves by the world's fires. We start putting that distance between us and him. And so whenever we allow that distance to develop between us and the Savior, when we're not as close to him as we once were, we're going to continue that drift until where we eventually come to the place where, like Peter, we'll come to a place of denial. We have that distance between us and the Lord. We're warming ourselves by the world's fire, and it's only a matter of time before we deny our Savior, either by word or by deed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say, "Oh, I would never do that. I love my Lord." We'll praise him. We'll read his word. We'll pray. We're excited. We're going to serve him, and we've got all the best of intentions. But things come between us and the Lord. The things of God becomes less important. They become old. They become stale. We become disinterested. And the world starts becoming more appealing and more alluring. We start concerning ourselves about the opinions of the world. We start concerning ourselves about the direction the world's going. And we start wanting to be had a good opinion by those that's in the world. And it's only a matter of time before we begin to deny our Lord. We may never vocalize the words. We may never say, "I'm not saved, I'm not a Christian, or I don't believe." But the problem comes in our actions. Whenever we cease actually following him, whenever we begin to act not like a Christian, but like the world, we allow things in that we said we would never do. Peter said, "I'll never deny the Lord." But how many times have we crossed that line that we said we wouldn't cross? We had the best of intentions. We have purpose in our hearts. We said we were going to follow the Lord, and I would never sin in this manner. But instead, next thing we know, we find ourselves away from God, denying the very God that we claim that we serve by our actions, by our words, by the life that we live. And the world looks on and they can't see God in us anymore. We've denied him. And so our boundaries are disappeared. We have already crossed them and left them far behind. And so we've gotten away from our Savior. And all the things that we desired before, the way that he's led us before, it's become less important. And then we finally wake up and we realize what has happened. And we become disappointed in ourselves. And that's where Peter got to. The Lord used a rooster, a chicken, to wake Peter up. We don't know what the Lord will use in our lives, but it's amazing the things that he can use. But the Lord sent Peter a wake-up call because Peter is there, distanced from the Savior, setting amongst the fires of the world, denying the Lord that bought him. And the rooster crows. And immediately he's crushed. He's disappointed. And it says there that he went out and he wept bitterly. If we continue to distance ourselves from the Lord and allow that to grow, if the things of this world continue to allure us further and further, if we continue to allow them to have more influence upon us and God to have less influence on us, there will be a day of reckoning. I'm not talking about at the end of this life. I'm talking about during this life, because the Bible tells us that if we are his children, then he is going to work in our lives. He's going to chastise us and bring us back to himself.
Right.
He's going to send a wake-up call our way. And we're going to realize what has happened. And like Peter, we're going to say, oh man, I've messed up. All the things I said I'd never do, all the things I said I'd never be, I've done them. And I've been them. And the disappointment sets in. The guilt sets in. The shame sets in. Because we have this flesh, and we have what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren that will whisper in our ear and tell us how worthless we are and how much the Lord is disappointed in us, how much the Lord hates us now. You ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've crossed the line we said we'd never cross. And we're hearing that mess. And we're in the same place that Peter was, at the place where we weep bitterly. And we regret. And thankfully, that's not the end of the story. We don't have to stay in that. We don't have to feel like a total failure. We don't have to abandon the Lord.
Right.
Because the Lord still has a desire for us. And so we began all this. We saw the desire that Peter had for the Savior. And after this has all come full circle, the desire that the Savior had for Peter hasn't changed a bit, hasn't lessened a bit. And so Jesus did, in fact, still love and want Peter. We find the account of Jesus seeking him out in John chapter number 21. And I've recounted that passage many times, and I love that passage, how the Lord comes to Peter, calls him out to himself, and says, Peter, do you love me? And does it three times for the three times he denied him. And after it was all said and done, Peter understood he was forgiven and that Jesus wasn't done with him. He still had a purpose for him. And within less than 50 days, he would stand in the streets of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and he would proclaim the gospel. He would preach the word of God to multitudes and see thousands saved.
Mm-hmm.
And what a change. What a turn of events for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is never done with us. His desire for us never changes. It never stops. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Right.
And so we may have lost our desire for him. We may have allowed distance to grow and even denied him. But he still desires us.
Yeah.
He still calls for us to follow him. He still has a plan for us. And he will walk with us. He will work in us. He will work through us. So wherever you find yourself at today, you'll most likely vary in your walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
You'll look back over your life. You may find days that you were closer to him,
mm-hmm.
days that you were further away.
Yeah.
But it's good for us to evaluate and say, where am I at in my walk with God? Because whenever we don't pay attention to it, when we don't consider it, we drift without knowing.
Right.
And so wherever you find yourself, at times you're going to be close. He's going to be your only desire, and other times the distance is going to grow, even without us realizing it. And so whenever we do realize it, the best thing for us to do is to return to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that distance that we've allowed to develop. Whatever it is that's come between us and our Savior, we need to return back to Him.
Right.
Because we know that He still desires us. He still welcomes us with open arms. If you're here this morning and you're right where you need to be, you need to guard your relationship with Him, because there are all the forces of this flesh,
right,
and of this world, and of the adversary that would love to devour us,
mm-hmm,
trying to pull us away from our Savior, trying to cause our desire for Him to diminish, trying to increase our distance from Him so that He can have a better, bigger impact on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're right where you need to be, guard your relationship with Him. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I'm not following as closely as I should, take steps to get back to Him.
Right.
If there's things that you've allowed to come between you and Him, take care of those.
Yeah.
Get rid of those. Return to Him. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you've allowed yourself to drift so far to the place that your life is a denial of Him. You're no longer walking with Him. You're no longer walking in a way that's pleasing to Him. If you're denying the Lord by word or deed, don't let disappointment take hold of you. Don't allow that to beat you up and beat you down and keep you away from Him. Because He still wants you. He still loves you. He'll still forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that we have to do is just get back to Him. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly today, I know I'm short in all of this, but lastly, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you've never began following Him to begin with. Maybe you're like Peter, still on the shore, mending your nets, going about your life, unaware of Him and of what He has for us and His desire for you. He desires to save you. He desires to cleanse you. He desires to walk with you. He desires to guide you. The God who created all things created you, and He wants to pay the sin debt that you owe so that you can be free to live with Him forever. And He's a wonderful Savior, and He's worth following. But I want us to make sure, just in a final thought before I close, Christian, don't allow yourself to drift from Him. Don't follow Him afar off. Stay close to Him. Seek after Him. Allow Him to lead and guide, because in His presence, near His side, is such a wonderful place to be. Allowing Him to guide us, to cleanse us, to take care of us. Don't lose sight of that. And if you've lost your desire for Him, seek Him. Turn back to Him. Don't continue to drift away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to You today. Thank You for Your blessings. And we do thank You so much for the day that You've given us, Lord. And thank You for this passage. I know, Lord, that this has been a simple message, a short message, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that it makes us necessary mark in our lives, Lord. I know, Lord, I'm prone to wander. I know I'm prone to drift away from You, Lord. I know there's times that I allow things to come between me and You. There's times that my desire wanes, Lord, and Lord, the things of God are less pleasant, less alluring than they used to be, and the things of this world makes a greater impact on me than what they should. I just pray, Lord, ask You, Lord, just to help me to guard my walk. Help me, Lord, to desire You above all things. Help me, Lord, to never allow anything to take that place in my life, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You do the needed work in the hearts and lives of each person here today. Lord, no doubt there's people all different areas, Lord, that we've looked at today. Lord, there's people who are right there where they need to be. And Lord, that You're so sweet to them and they just desire You above all. Lord, there's people here, Lord, that maybe they're starting to follow afar off. Maybe there's some that's quit following and they've just denied You altogether. And maybe there's some here, Lord, that don't know You at all. Lord, they've never began following You. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do that needed work in each heart and life today. Lord, if there's one here that's unsaved, Lord, that today would be the day that they would call upon You. They would confess their sins and ask You, Lord, to save their souls. Lord, if there's one here that's drifting away, that today would be the day that they would draw back to You once again. And Lord, I just pray, ask You just to help us as a church to bind together, to encourage one another, Lord, and to be a good witness in this community that You've put us in. Lord, I just thank you so much for all you do. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.